and welcome to the latest edition of Westworld Revisited, The Well-Tempered Clavier. This episode is brought to you by Astro Panda Productions. Please visit astropandaproductions.com today for an all-star lineup of shows and premium online content. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @WeAreAstroPanda for the latest show news and updates. Yippee-yo-ki-yay, motherfuckers, and welcome to a new episode of Westworld Revisited. I'm Ricardo, joined by my panel of...
Tiffany, who's under-impressed by your intro.
Under-impressed?
Under-impressed.
And Josh.
Why would you say you're under-impressed?
It seems so very 90s intro to, like, TRL or something.
I don't think they say yippee-yo-ki-yay, motherfucker.
They did. They just got edited out.
Welcome to the Thunderdome, everyone. And I'm here to skull fuck you, just like the episode of Westworld just did to me.
Here to skull fuck you into oblivion.
So anyways, this episode, if you haven't seen it already, it's called The Well-Tempered Clavier. Now, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but go and hit us up at Visit Westworld on Twitter and let me know if I completely butchered that.
Hashtag, how the fuck do you pronounce it?
Clavier? Clavier. But getting right to this episode, and we're kind of jumping around, no format here. I want to get started off with Maeve in this episode. We all know what the big reveal is, but let's build up. And Maeve, just as we thought from the previous episode, in the preview where she's talking to Bernard, unleashes a firestorm and makes her way out of, what is that area? The behavioral area? The what the fuck is going on with you area?
Yes, the design area. The designers.
Yeah, so we see that Bernard comes in and he's trying to troubleshoot what the hell is wrong with Maeve. And she makes him realize that he's a host again because she can see through everything, apparently. And it makes me believe a little bit more at something that Dr. Ford hinted on at the end of the episode without spoiling everything right away, where he says, I've programmed a little safety net in the back of your minds. Arnold did it to everyone. I'm going to ask the panel this. Do you think that that little tidbit of information is going to come into play with Maeve, or do you think that she is able to find that little secret area of code and program it out? Because if Bernard, who was the most probably most knowledgeable host that Dr. Ford has ever created from a programming aspect, is unable to locate it, can Maeve do that?
Well, I wasn't taking it as Arnold did it. I was taking it as Bernard created it. He's like, you created that little backdoor code, and I've applied it to you as well. So I don't think it was Arnold who made it. It was made by Bernard himself. So he created his own downfall. And I was thinking about the same myself. Does it apply to Maeve? Is this going to be her Achilles heel here? I don't know. I do like the scene when he's looking over her, I guess, her design or her code. And he starts freaking out. And she's like, you need to stop that. She just like grabs him. And then he's about to go walk off and she freezes him.
And you can see like all of the red areas in her personality and her attributes, I want to say, where they're all like maxed out. And he's like, what the hell? Who did this? But I'm going to pose this question to Josh here is, do we think that Dr. Ford, is it inevitable that he's going to die? Is this tied to him? Has Maeve found a loophole in this safety net? Is she going to kill Dr. Ford? Do you think that Dr. Ford dies at the end of season one?
No, I would never think that. This guy is too brilliant. And like he says, he's created every inch of this place. And I'm not so sure he doesn't know what's going on right now. And maybe he's going to use it to his advantage at some point in this next episode.
Yeah, if he can see through the hosts, he might be able to see through Maeve. But I'm beginning to doubt that credibility at that standpoint. If she can go in from the coders area and the engineers, the designers, go up there and behavior and program this out, can she program Dr. Ford out of herself?
Right. My question is at what point do the hosts, are they able to manipulate their own code and programming? Because, she did stop and freeze all motor functions on Bernard. So
she straight up went and just froze him on that. And you could see in his eyes, he had that panic in there. And I think she may be able to beat that because She has the highest intelligence. And I doubt that Ford allowed that to happen to Bernard, because if it was, he may be more self-aware. He would have broke through earlier over the fact that he's not human. He's actually a host. So she is smarter than him at this present time. And she says it too. She goes, why would we listen to them? We're smarter and we're stronger.
Well, here's where I get a little bit off of this, is that if Dr. Ford can see through hosts and he sees them, and she hasn't done that, he knows how to do it. And in this episode, it shows you he's seen multiple iterations of the same things happening. He knows all of the tricks. He knows everything that's happened. And I think that we're starting to see at least what Maeve's role is in this series. And that's the wild card, right? That's potentially something that Dr. Ford never has expected. And I'm just curious to think, if our hosts required to update their code only by those little iPads, or can there become a point where they're self-aware and they can actually like reprogram everything live? So they don't need the tablet anymore. They can just go inside their brain and reprogram themselves, right? You get what I'm saying? Because that's consciousness at that point, right? That's like me or you. We want to change some aspect of our personality, so we go read a book. Well, their brains are even more powerful than ours. So if they can reprogram themselves live, right, they don't need the programming anymore. They become conscious.
I wonder how she could go and reprogram the other hosts. I mean, she could probably just take a tablet, really. She could steal one. And I'm sure they probably keep good inventory of that. But she could steal one and go in the park and probably just go around and reset them all. Just have them sit down where they could shut down and just do it right there in the park. I think this is how this episode is going to end this season. It's going to be her building up her army and the confrontation. And next season is going to be all about what happens afterwards. Maybe expand the bigger world. And at that point, if the host can control all their emotions and their intelligence, how will they start a civil war within themselves? How will they won't be like, why should I follow you? I'm just as smart as you are.
Maybe that's season two, though, that battle.
It could be.
How do we contain this battle?
Yeah, I think maybe maybe Ford knows what's happening with Maeve, and he's letting it play out, hoping that the man in black is going to get caught in the crossfire there.
Yeah, agreed.
That could be a possibility there.
Yeah, agreed. And one thing that was interesting about Maeve this episode, and I thought was kind of weird, is that they know that they can feel death, right? And every time that maybe she doesn't feel pain anymore, she's programmed that out of herself. But why choose death by fire? Of all things, you know what I mean? Even if you're dealing with Hector, for his sake, you know he's not programmed out of pain. So why are you going to make that dude bang you out in a fire tent?
Well, maybe because it gets her somewhere different. So when you get gunshots or cuts, you go with the butchers. But if you were to get burned like that, I think it takes you to a whole different area. You probably go up to where they're making...
The bakers.
Well, yeah, the bakers, I guess. But it'll probably take you up to the next level, not where the butchers are at. So maybe... She's doing it this way. It lets her get access to a tablet. Maybe that's what she's trying to do. Because Felix is not supposed to have a tablet. He snuck that down there. So he was hiding that tablet, remember, with the stupid little bird? And if she goes up to the next level where they got to make her brand new body, she's not just being patched up, she could probably get access to steal one of them.
And take a tablet.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Josh?
Yeah, I had a... interesting thought on some of the scenes when does anyone else think that maybe Logan is Hector, or at some point they program, because they're never on the same timeline if we're accepting the timeline theory.
Saying they're taking Hector, his character.
Hector is always with Maeve. Maeve is never with Logan and Billy, right?
Yeah. So you're talking about where they make your DNA part of their intellectual property, and they just repurposed Logan as Hector.
Yeah, because they kept, you know, just how they were interchanging their scenes, and it was like Logan to Hector.
Hector to Logan.
A lot alike. Yeah.
See, but the difference between Hector and Logan is Hector is, he has a goal. You know, he's very, he has a self-serving goal. He wants to help his crew get ahead. It's very simple and shallow. Logan's just driven by evilness. He is just a spiteful, evil person. He just likes his, he takes pleasure out of putting himself in position of powers over other, making people suffer underneath it and bragging about it and belittling them. It's not something that Hector has in his personality.
Yeah, and I want to touch on one thing before we move forward. And Josh, get your input on this too. There was a discussion that we had before the podcast and after the last podcast of sort of tying up a loophole, right? So one loophole that we always see and we always mention is that why is Maeve in this sector with these tablet computers in her hands and everyone, because it's glass windows, right? Why don't they notice anything? And then Tiffany and I were discussing it. What if all the people in livestock management are hosts?
It would make sense.
And
it's cheap.
They don't see things outside of their realm. They don't notice things. What if they're all hosts?
Yeah, that would be.
You don't have to pay
that
would
them. Be the most likely scenario. Yeah. And that's what I was saying, that they have so many hosts, probably managing other hosts, all kinds of stuff. Probably have hosts managing humans. For sure, that's the case for Bernard, because he's in a very high position of power there at the company. So. Yeah.
Well, I know they said they used the host to do surveys. So they were saying, you know, no one's noticed life. And then when Ford first showed Bernard his faux family, and he was like, how come we never seen it? And he's like, well, the hosts are the ones who do the surveys here. And I made it so they can't see it. So if they're doing they're doing things that I actually think are probably more elegant or more elevated, as in surveying the land compared to cleaning out, you know, come from a hooker, I can see how they would probably have hosts do that. It's not a very it's not a very distinguished job. So I don't see a lot of people clamoring to work there, to work in that area, because they can't even go to the park. Like he says, I can't even afford to go to the park. So who wants that shitty ass job?
Excuse me, miss. I believe the correct terminology is ejaculate.
Okay.
But anyways, moving along from yummy, something that we brought up in the last episode was the man in black. And even in previous episodes where we thought that he was part of the board of Delos, even before he even said whatever, he's a titan of industry or whatever, we said that there's a possibility that he could be on the board. So, bwahahaha, he's on the board, bitches. And
I'm so happy for you.
We see Charlotte just chilling in pumps walking through the desert. And I don't know if she saves him or what she does. She didn't really save him. She comes after he saves himself. And he's like super into this, man. He's like, don't bother me while I'm in here. Don't fuck with me. And the man in black, trademark self, rescues himself with his own knife, which looks eerily similar to the knife that Logan uses to fillet Dolores' stomach open. Holy shit, that was gruesome.
And if there's anyone who's still doubting this timeline theory, it's almost a definite right now, because he says, and I remember the man in black, when I first came here, you guys were so elegant. You had, you know, you had all these intricate parts inside you, and now you're just like us. And it shows how she still has robot parts in her. She's still the original character. So I think that confirms it. This is a old, he's back in the old timeline. I mean, William is a man in black. And I'm going to kind of be upset if they decide to make a long, drawn-out reveal, kind of like they did with Bernard and the Arnold thing. I have a feeling they're going to do that in the last episode. Like, oh my gosh, ta-da, Man in Black is William, when we all know it by now.
Yeah, they're always hinting at it, too. Did you catch how in the last episode before this one was Jar Jar Binks lady?
Yeah.
She's in the first scene. Billy, when he gets up there, she's the host for him.
Yeah.
And then what happens when the man in black approaches her? He's like, oh, I thought they would have, you know,
retired you.
Done you in by now. Yeah, exactly. And so obviously that was, you know, it's the same person.
I guess Ford can never say no to a pretty face.
What I can't get with the man in black is, like, you would think by now he realizes that this is not, like, literally the maze is not meant for him. What the frick is he trying to accomplish from this? The maze is saying, hey, you've reached consciousness. He's not going to gain consciousness. So why does he care so much about this stupid maze?
Okay, so here you go. I'm going to hit you with it. This shit's going to blow your mind, but it's what I've been saying all along. We know that William is in love with Dolores. He expresses that to Logan in wanting to get Dolores out of the park, which makes Logan go crazy psycho motherfucker and cut her open like a can of beans. And we see... what's that robot, Short Circuit or whatever? Johnny Five.
Johnny Five.
We see the Johnny Five version of Dolores and her inner workings or whatever that shit is. And he's in love with her, right? So he goes and he kills all of the Confederados in their sleep with that fucking knife, and he's going to find Dolores, right? But the maze isn't for him. I think the maze is for him and Dolores, and we see this at the end of the episode when he walks in the church and he's like, hello, Dolores. He knows, because Dolores is in his timeline as William, he knows that Dolores is referencing Arnold, and Arnold speaks to me, and Arnold says something about the maze. So we see that it's building intrigue in his mind, and he's saying, wow, I just need to know the meaning of this park. I need to know the meaning of this park. And she keeps referencing Arnold. I think what's going to happen is she's going to die, right? And maybe he sees Arnold, or she kills Arnold, or something comes to head where he witnesses it, and he knows that he'll never get that out of Arnold because it's such a big piece to the puzzle that he hasn't been resolved. But again, I digress a little bit and think that if the man in black is truly a board member, that means he has complete access to the facility, correct?
Yes.
Do you guys agree? Okay. Then if he has complete access to the facility, wouldn't he know? Well, I guess he wouldn't know that Bernard is Arnold. Spoiler alert, but you've already watched the episode. But he wouldn't know it. But anyways, getting back to what I'm saying, it all ties together with the man in black and Dolores. And he wants to get Dolores out of the park. And he's been trying to do it for 30 years. And he's frustrated with the fact she never remembers him. And most of her memories remembering him are of him like doing bad things to her or doing bad things to other people. And he's trying to get her out of the park. And he spent his life doing it.
Yeah. And Billy, in that scene where he just, you know, slaughters everyone, that's him becoming the man in black. Remember, he says, I was born in this park. Yep. I think that was it. You know, he's transitioning from the soft kind of pussy into a harder, more savage, you know?
And maybe that's what that his wife means when she said that she killed herself and her, and his daughter was like, you know, she knew you were a monster. I guess his wife had learned about it, which makes me think maybe Logan does leave and he tells his sister a bit about what happened at the park. But he tries to go back from not being a monster, but she knows he's always underneath the surface there. And he says it himself, is always underneath that surface. So this is probably the scene where he breaks out and he becomes a mass murderer.
Or he gangster leans and kills Logan, and Dr. Ford takes up for him. And then he saves the park because Arnold dies and he becomes a member of the board. The park is saved. Logan's murder goes undiscovered or whatever, and takes over the company and la-di-da-di-da. Well, the end of season one. Thank you. Ricardo. Good night.
No, Arnold is dead way before William shows up there.
Yeah, no, but that's what he's saying. Arnold's already dead. Arnold dies, right? The park gets in trouble. Because the park is currently in trouble, because they say that once you get out to the outer rims of the park, they're just hemorrhaging money because Dr. Ford's trying to recreate the storylines that Arnold was so good at. They're losing money. But the man in black, William, kills Logan, right? And then Dr. Ford says, oh, don't worry about it. And I need, by the way, I need some money. Want to be on the board? Hey, we're buddies again. By the way, Dolores will never remember you. Good luck spending the next 30 years figuring it out. But because you're so interested in this park, it will always be safe for me financially. The end. Thank you very much. And I take a bow.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
I'll be here all week.
Yeah, I think it's likely to go that direction. But Logan's definitely dying next episode. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And that might lead into them introducing, because that's kind of following the movie, maybe they introduce one of these Roman or medieval worlds.
Yeah, I would be more interested in that.
Maybe that's part of Dr. Ford's new narrative.
Well, it looks like Dr. Ford's trying to recreate the narrative that Arnold had in place. And maybe he's trying to complete whatever journey Arnold was trying to do with the host at the time. I don't think they're going to introduce Roman world or anything like that yet, because it's still very high budget. If you tried to introduce these other intricate worlds, it goes beyond HBO's budget for this show. So I don't think we'll have that. It's kind of like when you watch an Avengers movie, they had it on Avengers, but any kind of Marvel movie, they kind of limit the other characters in there because it costs too much. But I don't think it's so much that he's creating a new world. I think he's just trying to recreate whatever journey that was started. And like I said before, I think he does not want the park to fall into the hands of Delos. So he's trying to use whatever failsafe or better yet, destruction mode Arnold had in place to he'd rather burn it down than hand it over.
Yeah, and one person that we didn't see this episode was Lee. And it's interesting to try and see what's going to happen. I'm sure we're going to see maybe he gets the intellectual property off. But like we mentioned last week's episode, Dolores' father, Mr. O'Abernathy there, who finds the picture that Logan shows William of his sister in Times Square. So now that's, we also know where that came from. But with all of that knowledge of 30 years in his mind, if he can tap into it, what will he know? And will they, in fact, be able to get that intellectual property out of the park before the last episode?
Okay. No, I don't think so. Because, you know, I'm going with Anthony Hopkins here. I'm going with Dr. Robert Ford. This is his park. He's God.
He runs this shit.
You can't fuck with him in this shit, man. I'm telling you.
He's got that stare about him, like that Hannibal Lecter stare. And I said it in the last episode.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I know.
Silent, this vintage silence of the lambs. Like, and it fits the role.
It's like, I just got this shit, bitch, and I know it. You can't fuck with me.
I think he's going to allow some data to leave the park, but it's not going to be completely accurate. It's something that's going to fail no matter what they try to do, because he can't even figure out Arnold's code. So how can they steal it? If he cannot figure it out and he's there looking at the code every day, how are they going to manage to take this data off the park and somehow figure it out when he can't?
I don't believe that, right? And it's not that I'm disagreeing with you, but I believe that he understands Arnold's code, but he systematically disapproves of it, right? And he does this to keep these sentient hosts, as Bernardold, right, references them in this episode, on there to prove the theory that Arnold is wrong and he's right. I think that they look at hosts from a different angle. So Ford's code is completely separate of Arnold's, but he just chooses to code them in that specific way, whereas Arnold always chose to code them towards becoming conscious. And you see that in this episode when Dolores walks into the church and people are just like talking to themselves. And that's that whole bicameral mind concept. And oh, by the way, episode 10 is titled The Bicameral Mind. These hosts are in the church going crazy because they hear that voice of Arnold in their head, just as Dolores does. But Dolores, for some reason, can break through it and go down, and really the biggest reveal of the show, that Bernard is Arnold. I think that they're two opposing theories, where Ford knows what he's doing and so did Arnold, and they were completely two different sides of the spectrum. And it just happens to be that Ford's theory works out better because, one, it makes money and Arnold's doesn't, right? Arnold's was more for a personal gain, whereas Ford's is more for profit. And he gets to control the world and be its God because he holds the intellectual property. Whereas Arnold is like, I want to make this world for me, and that's all I care about. So you know who's going to win, and that money always wins.
I like how you have Charlotte comes along and she says, we don't need all these complex narratives. People come here to fuck or shoot something. And it's like they want to dumb down the park. But I do agree the park may be a little bit too complex. There are Easter eggs that people like Logan look for, and they get so excited when they find it. And I guess these eccentric people are usually the most wealthiest people that probably come to the park. But I do agree it's a little over the top. Like when you went to Pariah, you don't need gold painted ladies running down the street. It's a little over the top in that regard. But I think that Ford is going to be surprised by Maeve. I think he knows what's going on with her. And he's letting it come to him, but he doesn't realize the extent of what she's accomplished.
Okay, so moving along, the biggest reveal of this episode, Bernarnold. And that's what I like to call him because he's Bernarnold. He's Bernard and Arnold.
Bernardle.
Hey, Bernarnold.
Hey, Bobby. I'm here.
Hey,
I'm Arnold.
Hey, friend.
Hey, you remember? You remember when Bernard was Arnold?
Yeah, I remember.
Oh, you remember?
Oh, sure, I remember.
Oh, you remember too? Oh, man. Yeah, so Bernard is Arnold, and the show does a great job of revealing it, but the buildup to it is just way too much. It's like, look, everybody watching the show right now is hinting at what you're saying, especially the people on this podcast where we said, hey, he's not noticing that picture. Hosts don't see what they want to see. We all know he's going to be on the picture. And that little trick they do where they, oh, this is the picture. Is Dr. Ford going to show him? No. He's not going to show him. Oh, here comes our girl, Dolores, and she's coming into the church. And is Bernard going to be Arnold? I don't know. And back and forth and back and forth. It was just like, I don't know, just too strung out for me. Just get classic, to it.
Classic bait and switch.
Yeah, oh, dang on. You get it right, boy.
And what bothers me with this is it makes Arnold look really pathetic. Like, I do not see him as a strong character, and he should be. By all regards, he should be a strong character. He's designed differently. He has more autonomy than the other hosts, but he just seems so pathetic to me, like so like reserved and insecure. I don't see him as a tough, strong character. So when he tried to be tough and strong in this episode, some parts kind of went through. Sometimes you're like, oh, I'm not seeing it. And how, if he's anything like Arnold, how would Arnold have lasted that long with a strong-armed Ford if he was that weak?
Well, I think this. I think that Bernard, and in this case, more along the lines of Arnold, knew Ford. Ford has been playing this game, man. I think the whole Westworld is his game. I mean, he's playing God. Right. And Arnold is Jesus in this case. Right. We'll just say that. And
he rose from the grave.
There you go. And Arnold knows that Ford can outwit him at every angle. And that's why you see in this episode when it reveals that he was talking to Dolores in that time as Arnold, alive and breathing Arnold as a human, and telling her about, hey, you're here. And then he makes that statement, well, you know why I can't tell you, I can't help you. And she goes, because of Ford. And he's that's when you realize it's not that he's afraid of Ford. He's as smart as Ford is, and he's playing this systematically. And Dolores makes that reveal at the end where she says, yeah, I killed you because I killed you. And then he disappears, and we see the basement under the church. We're in the present time now. I just wanted to know, do you think all those hosts are like laying on the ground when she's walking in present time? Would they just like throw the hosts in the hallway?
Seems like a waste of materials. I don't think they're present time. I think it's her first vision.
What do you think about all of it, Josh?
I mean, they kind of painted him like that anyways. He's like, oh, man, you know, I hate people and everything. And, you know, I get that. I honestly do, but like he just kind of wants to be out there with the robots, and like he can control every interaction possible. But I also think that's why he was kind of weak, because he created Dr. Ford, and Dr. Ford is an android also with totally like maxed out like attributes. Just
so that's
totally juice the fuck up.
That's what your theory is.
Yeah, and I think that he overtook He overtook Arnold, and that's why he's always threatening him. And that's why he has some of these crazy abilities where he's just kind of ninja bombing everywhere, you know, always a step ahead.
He's like an 80-year-old man that can run 70 miles an hour.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense there.
I don't know. I don't buy him as a host for the simple fact I think that it's the programming that the hosts rely on that give him that power over them. And if he has those same programs running him, it makes him just as, I guess you could say, as weak or as liable to get damaged as they are. So I think that's the main reason he would not be a host.
I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. I can see some of the evidence that could point to him being a host, mainly physical evidence that he's everywhere. And then also the Sauron's eye theory is that how can a human see into all of the other hosts and know everything? Because they don't specifically point out him looking at an iPad and going, When Charlotte's banging out guys. So
I think the big point is that Arnold, he loved the android so much that he would make one so special like that, that would help him create the part that would be essentially, you know, his son. And so that would be an android, because how they just, the rhetoric they build around Arnold not liking humans, you would never think he would want to take a human family or anything like that. And so,
yeah, I agree.
Maybe he created him as like this kind of son, and like he's a father figure, and kind of what now Dr. Ford is doing to Bernard, if that theory would hold true.
Yeah, and I kind of see it at a deeper level as well, because think about this, right? Think about what Dr. Ford is telling, who is that? Wild Bill Hickok, when he's down there, the story of his Greyhound. Is that his cornerstone story? And then did Arnold subsequently create a family for him in that cottage for that very reason, to be Ford's cornerstone to Westworld, so that he does everything within his park?
That's a good point. I never even thought of that.
Because we're talking about cornerstone
theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be, yeah, definitely the backstory to anchor him.
Anchor him to the park, and by building him that, his own narrative and cornerstone memory.
And it's definitely plausible that Arnold would give control to an android the way they talk about him. You know, he loved the host. You know, he never liked humans. He's a misanthropist, basically. And so, in all likelihood, I think that would be
a definite possibility. Scenario. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that one thing that this show does great is create this too, because it creates great discussion, because you never really see a clear path forward, and you know where we're getting, but you don't know how we're getting there. A little bit of both in that respect. So with that, I want to talk a little bit more about Bernard and how he comes to realize he's Bernard. And we see that when he interacts with Maeve, she sort of unlocks him knowing that he's a host again, and taps into his memories. And she's like, oh my God, you don't even know. You don't even know. And freezes him, like Tiffany said earlier in the episode. And you can see the sheer panic in his eyes. And he creates this whole meeting where he takes Dr. Ford down to cold storage. And he talks about how cruel it is to keep them in state. And he wants to know more and dig deep into his memories. And this is where we learn that he has a cornerstone memory, is what they call it, is their anchor memory. And that's the memory of his son. And he tries to break that because he wants to go back to his oldest memory. And we see that he finally breaks through this memory, and it takes him back to the moment where he comes to life, where he powers on and Dr. Ford is there and he's talking to him and teaching him the behavioral tactics. But what I wanted to say here is the bigger depth of this episode is that I believe that you can clone somebody's memories into a host now, like Tiffany said in the past. Once he breaks through that cornerstone memory, when he realizes he can just tell his son to get up, come back to life, I need to let go of you, he unlocks all of Arnold's memories. And you see him realize it on the show when he's like, I know all the sentient hosts. I can take this over. I can activate something deep inside of them. And he seeing all of those memories come to life. And maybe those are Arnold's memories. I don't know how you do this transition. And maybe, again, this could prove that Dr. Ford is a host as well. But Tiffany, more along the lines of your thoughts on this and how you think this plays into what you previously mentioned as being able to download your memories and clone yourself into a host.
Well, it's there in the Delos website, how it says if you can take your memories and have your body mapped, and a body's created exactly like yours, and your memories are put into that body, how is that not you? So I do think that you could download memories, but I do fear that at the time when Arnold died, the technology may not have been as perfect as it is now. So it may not be all of his memories, but there is some in there. And like you said, when he broke that whole corner, something he is breaking through, like, my personality is this way, not because I was programmed this way or I was raised a certain way, because of who they based me on, now that he knows that he's a host. So I don't think he's all Arnold, but I think there's some Arnold in there, because I think Dr. Ford would be afraid to put a full Arnold there. That would be someone.
Then the next person that's going to get their memories downloaded is Teresa.
Well, they showed her body, and they already presented the body last episode to Charlotte. So probably not, because they can't fake her.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I didn't catch that.
Well, maybe they put her into Charlotte and her mind together, and they make Shyresa.
Oh, my goodness.
And they did that with Arnold. They made Bernarnold. They just take Teresa's consciousness and put it into a host. And that's, I'm glad that you mentioned that, Josh, because that's where I'm going here before we leave and transition out of this, is that who is that host that Dr. Ford is building in his laboratory of science? Is that Wyatt? Is that who Wyatt's supposed to be?
Well, it's a small body. So it's,
is it a small body?
Yes, it
though?
Is. So it's either a woman or a child. And that was something I remember hearing discussed the episode before last, how it is a small body in there. So I don't think so. It could be something as simple as he's remaking the boy, or it could be something that he's creating a new character we have yet to see. I don't know. I don't really
Maybe
understand
Maybe it's some
that.
Fucking crazy ass gremlin, like, you know, some like little demon monkey.
A demon monkey creature.
You know, that would be pretty awesome, actually. You have, you know, all the worlds they have according to the movie is worlds that are based on history, actual history. But
what if you had vampires and
exactly
werewolves?
You can make a sci-fi, you know, world.
Yeah,
what if you could recreate Harry Potter and magic?
Well, you couldn't recreate magic, because magic isn't real already to begin with.
But what I'm saying is, is you can make effects and like create magnets all over the park and make it look like it's real magic.
Yeah, it's not as cool. I mean, I like the idea of them making like aliens, and you think you got things cool, and you walk past these, you know, these trees, they come alive and chase you. It's
or they're xenomorphs.
Things.
Yeah. They're xenomorphs. Like you just go there, and they're like, oh, you get to spin a wheel, and which world do you go into? Oh, congratulations. Come on down, Ricardo. You've been selected for the werewolf world. Now here's a spike and a bow and arrow. Good luck. And then you have to run out there, and there's like 400 werewolves.
Well, the best thing is, too, if they kind of mix it up, you think you're in Westworld.
Sounds
like a bad acid trip. It does. You go there, you think you're high, but I can imagine you're in Westworld, and you're with the hooker, and out of nowhere, a chest burster comes out of her chest, and a whole new storyline begins. Like, are you going to save the town before the xenomorphs get them all? That's a fucking dream come true, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But who do you think, honestly, who do you think that body that Ford is building? Who is it?
I really don't. I don't have. What do you think? I don't have the slightest clue.
I think it's Dolores
2.0. Give us your thoughts. Oh.
I think that it's.
As a child?
Huh?
As a child?
As a woman. I think that it's a rival to Dolores. And I think that's who Wyatt is, right? And. Just some general takeaways this episode before we move on. I want to go around the panel and sort of get predictions for next week on what do we all think that's going to happen. And I've sort of alluded to mine, but I'll start with you, Josh. What do you think the culmination to season one is in the bicameral mind, episode 10?
The big reveal is obviously Ford's narrative, but I have a feeling this is going to be the episode where we see Logan die. And this is the critical failure that happened. But obviously, since we accept this is on two different timelines, there will be two different stories. Or maybe they'll merge them up.
So everything comes to culmination at once. And we see sort of in parallel the Men in Black and Dolores and William and Dolores.
They state the obvious.
Yeah, they give us
what we've been saying.
They give us some exposition to people and intelligence. I hate when intelligent shows do that. They dumb it down for the people who don't want to pay that much attention. You know, the people who are surfing their phones instead of watching all the details. But
you see the Man in Black have a concerned look on his face in the preview for next week when he's laying down a real concerned look on his face, like something surprised him or took him off guard.
I think next episode, this it hinted, not hinted. I think it kind of showed it. So she goes, William, she's still stuck in the timeline from 30 years ago. It ends with, you know, with Dolores trying to, she sees someone walk into the park, and then she realizes the Man in Black, and she goes, and she freaks out. But I think that she's going to finally put two and two together and prove, he's going to prove to her that he's also William, and that it's been 30 years, which is going to kind of like blow her mind. Like, oh my God, I've been stuck here living this life over and over for 30 years. But also, before I forget, maybe Elsie is the clone he's making.
Oh, there you go.
Because remember, Elsie is hiding, like, her cards in that area, in that forbidden area, and that's where he's making the clone. So that could be where Elsie's at.
Yeah, and we didn't even touch on Stubbs and Ghost Nation. Does Stubbs live or die?
I think he lives. I hope he lives.
I'm going to say
Stubbs lives. He has I think he has an important role probably in the next season. And yeah. I think he's one of the only humans among all these hosts that are littered within Westworld and Delos.
I don't think he has any loyalty to either company. I think he's just, he's one of those people who takes his job very seriously. Yeah, he's like, I'm here, security.
He's a rogue element.
Yeah, he's definitely unbiased. I'm going to get to my prediction for next week, and I alluded to it earlier, but I think that the Man in Black is in love with Dolores, and that's why he wants to get to the center of the maze, even though everyone tells him the maze is not for him. He knows that the maze is not for him, and he wants to get to Dolores. I think that both stories, the timeline theory with William and Logan, and the Man in Black and Dolores, are all going to culminate in the church in two different time periods. I want to see everything happen linearly, where you're going to see what happens. Well, actually, not linearly, but parallel. You're going to see what happens in the past with Logan, Dolores, and William, and then the Man in Black and her, Dolores, as well, as the episode climaxes with some big reveal of Dr. Ford's new narrative. And I don't think we get a lot of closure this season. I think it is going to open up either a whole new world for us next season, or how they've got a team together with Dr. Ford to battle Maeve and her army of zealots that she's converted.
What I do like is she's trying to convert them. She's not, she can control other hosts. She could say, do this. And I think that's the reason Bernard goes to seek the truth from Ford, because she goes, you need to seek the truth. And I think that's why he did it, because she kind of narrated that for him. And so she wants to go and get these. So she wants to give them the freedom she has. She has to convince them, though, like she was convinced herself, and she's doing it slowly. So I think it's not going to be a big army approaching. I think the episode may end with Ford acknowledging that she is starting an uprising, but he won't do anything to stop it, because he may think that it will bring down Delos.
So that's our thoughts and theories and predictions for next week. Hit us up at Visit Westworld on Twitter, or email us at westworldrevisited@gmail.com with your fan theories or what you think is going to happen next week. And with that, we promised you a new segment this week, and wrapping up our Death Pool 2.0.
Extreme.
I think that we can say that Tiffany won, because she chose Angela. What? And I'll give her, even though it was a death in the past, we'll give her the death.
It was Angela and Hector, right?
Yes.
Hector went out a crispy critter, but he had a happy ending. A hot, happy ending. Oh, you like that pun?
Ooh. But introducing our final segment going to the last episode. Welcome to Who the Hell is Wyatt? By Westworld Revisited. This week, we try and guess who we think Wyatt really is. Is he a dickless host named Dolores? Or is he Dr. Ford or someone else? Your thoughts. That's my best intro. That's my best game show voice. You guys like that?
I don't know. My ears are still ringing from the music.
Good. I'm glad.
Beautiful.
So who do we think Wyatt is? That's the biggest reveal, I think, we're going to see, and they've alluded to a couple of times. They haven't really gotten to who they think Wyatt is, even given an inkling of who Wyatt is. Because remember, hosts only see what they want to see, and we see that Teddy sees some figure, some person, shooting people, but who really is Wyatt? I'm going to go with Tiffany. Who do you think Wyatt is?
Arnold. I think Wyatt's in his head. He's just like, I was told to do something and I couldn't stop myself. So it was kind of like when Maeve controls the narrative and people just do things on their own. So he was being controlled. And at the time, unless another host jailbroke their code, I would think it'd be Arnold who could do that. Or Ford. I'm sorry, Arnold or Ford.
So you're going with Arnold or Ford as Wyatt?
Yes.
Or Bernard? Or Bernardold?
Well, Arnold is Bernard in the past.
Okay.
So.
Hey, Bernardold.
Hey, I'm Emba. Josh, your thoughts.
All right. I think Wyatt is not actually on the show at all right now. And he's being created to be fit with a new narrative that Dr. Ford's going to put out. And I think what Teddy sees in his head is something that Dr. Ford specifically maybe like, you know, programming as a memory. So it's something that kind of, I don't know, it leads the man in black astray. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out, but I think it fits into his new narrative. And it's someone we haven't seen. I think he's actually going to use the Abernathy character.
Oh,
since he had a her own daddy? History. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Dolores. So before we leave you, and we're rapidly approaching the last episode of season one of Westworld, and we really haven't decided where we're going to take the podcast in the off season. Probably do one episode a month until we get to season two, which potentially won't come out until 2018. So holy fuck. But we'll find a way to bridge the gap. Maybe we'll do a special on the Westworld movie. And then they had a small TV show in the 70s. Maybe we'll mix it up and do some nostalgia for you. But one last time before we go. Killer death of the week. And I'm going to get started this week and say kill of the week is motherfucking William hacking like 30 people up and potentially being reborn in blood and mechanical gears in Westworld for this week. You, Tiffany.
Well, there wasn't many kills this week, actually, so I'm going to say kill / death of the week. It's going to be because Maeve did kill Hector. The whole death by fire fucking.
Fuck me through the fire.
Yeah, because she kicked it over and she's like, well, let's go to hell. And she kicked it over. So she killed him.
It's, you said there wasn't that many kills of the week, but every death has a kill. And every kill has a death. Josh.
I'm taking Maeve, but in another scene where she's opening up that girl's throat. Was her name Angela?
Oh.
The new Clementine.
Straight shot to the jugular.
Oh. I thought for sure somebody was going to say Teddy getting knifed in the belly. You ain't ready, Teddy boy. Go home and die and come back.
We're used to watching that dude die anyway. And he dies in every movie. He's just sad.
Teddy returned to his old ways.
Died at the hands of Jar Jar Binks' cousin.
Yeah, Teddy returns to his cowardly ways, and maybe he is reborn in the fire as Wyatt. But with that, we'd like to thank you for joining us on this review of episode 9, The Well-Tempered Clavicle. Yeah, whatever you want to call it. But next week, we'll be back with A Bicameral Mind in episode 10, wrapping up this season 1. So until next time, I'm Ricardo.
I'm Tiffany.
And I'm Josh.
Good night.